Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Today's program is another one of those programs about our President Donald Trump. Without question, he is a polarizing president. You either love him or hate him. He has America split in half. And for some people, Trump's favorability or unfavorability is simply a matter of his personality, his boorishness, his sometimes juvenile comments. Others see the polarization due to partisanship, or what we might call tribalism. Tribalism is simply loyalty to your own team because you want your team to win, you want the power. For example, some people root for the Yankees, some people root for the Phillies, simply because it's their city. I mean, both teams play the same game, they follow the same rules, but people root for the one over the other because of our tendency to want to identify with our social group. So in this theory, if Donald Trump ran and won as a Democrat, Trump could be doing the exact same things he is currently doing, and the media and the Democrats would all love him because he would have a D after his name. Now, it's true that partisanship or tribalism may play a small role, but I really don't believe that's what's causing the polarization around this president. We know that the hatred is not just his juvenile comments, because there are Democrats who get excused for similar comments. And we know that this hatred is not just because he has an R or Republican before his name. This is a spiritual issue. This is two different spirits. This is two Americas with two different worldviews. This is not just the Phillies versus the Yankees. This is more akin to the ideological difference between communism and free enterprise, or between atheism and theism. Let me give you an example. The liberal religious think tank, the Global Center for Religious Research, recently put out a hit piece on the president. It was entitled "An Open Letter to Evangelicals of Moral Conscience." The subtitle read, "Help us end the cult-like determination to ignore, excuse, and justify Mr. Trump's blatant and obvious moral depravity." Now remember that they're calling him morally depraved. The statement reads, "Dear American evangelical friends, it is with great sadness that we, the undersigned faith leaders, biblical scholars, philosophers, and other academics, many of whom began our walk of faith in the evangelical tradition, hereby call on all American evangelical Christians of moral conscience who recognize and regret the corrupting and corrosive influence of Donald J. Trump to join us in repudiating those evangelical leaders and institutions that have politically entangled themselves with him. We believe this action to be an urgent moral imperative because these leaders and institutions, which have unfortunately become the dominant voice in modern American evangelicalism, have shown themselves to be obstinately bound to the control of influences overtly opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and have resisted repeated pleas to disentangle themselves." So the argument here is that evangelical support for Donald Trump means that evangelicals are more infatuated with political power than following the explicit and unequivocal moral expectations that come with following Jesus Christ. That, quote, Trump has a grossly immoral character. That, quote, if evangelicals continue to support Donald Trump, they will lose moral credibility. And that, quote, evangelicals lose moral credibility when they choose to vote for someone who has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women. So you'd think that all this is about Trump's personal morals, that these religious leaders are offended that Trump was a playboy in the past, and they just can't get past the fact that a man with a history of immorality and divorce is in the White House. This is almost a Puritan position. But then the piece goes on to explain that it's not just Trump's personal immorality that's the problem. But Trump betrays the gospel by treating the oppressed cruelly and the violation of moral, ethical, and legal norms. That President Trump has made statements that are racist, misogynistic, and xenophobic. So therefore, the piece concludes. Our hope in issuing this call is that a mass movement of Christians of good conscience, repudiating in one voice the corruption of evangelical leaders and their institutions, and calling them to turn away from their adulation of the golden idol they have made of Mr. Trump. And this might become the genesis of a more healthy evangelical revival, until such a time as those evangelical institutions and leaders disentangle themselves from the corrupting power and privilege that their complicity with Mr. Trump is providing them, we call upon Christians of good conscience to disentangle themselves from them, join us in repudiating them, and be prepared to explain why. Unquote. So it sounds like these religious leaders want a genuine religious revival, and that evangelicals messing around with political support for Trump may be grieving the Holy Spirit, hindering evangelism. So, okay, I think we can have enough of humility to consider their argument. I mean, after all, there's been times in the past when Christians have been swept into unspiritual political movements. I mean, the prime example would be the nationalistic zealots in Jesus's day. But then we discover who are the 113 religious leaders who signed this statement. The organization itself, the Global Center for Religious Research, publishes ecumenical, higher criticism attacks on biblical inerrancy. And many of these signers support the LGBTQ pro-choice agenda. And let me give some credit to Dr. Michael Brown, who did some research into this. Reverend Brian McLaren, a signer who was cited in the statement, in 2012, presided over the gay marriage of his son. Also cited is Pastor John Pavlovitz, who in December of 2018 tweeted, when hopelessly phobic people of faith like Dr. Michael Brown claim that God is against homosexual practices, this is the kind of fearful, Jurassic understanding of sexuality that is getting people killed. Someone else's gender identity, sexual orientation, marriage, or sexual activity are none of your business. So therefore, all this moral outrage over Trump's personal moral history is just a sham. They're calling Donald Trump morally depraved, and yet they're supporting LGBTQ. So what they really don't like about Donald Trump is that he doesn't hold to the leftist moral positions. Pro-choice, pro-LGBTQ, pro-open borders, pro-socialism. They all really wanted Hillary Clinton and her agenda to win. So don't be fooled by these people. They do not care about Trump's personal morals or his bluster. Now, yes, there are a few Never Trumpers who are concerned about Trump's moral character, but really most of them are against his conservative values. They don't like conservative values. They find them off-putting. They want to be conformed to the world. You know, Bill Kristol, the editor of the now defunct conservative magazine, The Weekly Standard, he was a Never Trumper and it just came out of the closet saying that he's a Democrat. So again, this is really not about Trump's personality or his bluster. People may use that as an excuse, but it's really they are in tune with the spiritual ideology of the left. I mean, you may dislike Trump's juvenile comments, and rightly so, but when someone would rather vote for a candidate or a party that supports ripping babies apart in the womb and transgender readings in public schools. We have to suspect that the issue here is the Jezebel spirit, the spirit of Baal. There's a spiritual problem here. Now, sure, you can always find some evangelicals who think Donald Trump is the next Messiah, but that is really not the norm or the issue. All of the polarization surrounding Trump comes down to one's overall worldview. You either lean toward the America of President Trump or the America of Biden, Warren, Sanders, or Buttigieg. And this was all laid out very well in Trump's State of the Union address. The president began with all sorts of positive economic statistics. Minority unemployment is down. Low-paying jobs have had a 16% pay increase. Manufacturing is coming back to America, yet the Democrats wouldn't clap. And it occurred to me in this that the radical left sees all of Trump's talk about work and jobs as simply being a dog whistle, because their narrative is entitlement and government assistance, and any talk of having to work for success is today considered racist, white privileged thinking. Well, then Trump moved on to talking about school choice and opportunity scholarships so that children can get out of failed public schools. But of course, the left hates that because for them, all education must be controlled by government. School choice is individualism, and that would undermine socialism. And the agenda for the left is actually to expand government's control of education, free public colleges for everyone, so that the state can indoctrinate more people. Well, then Trump went on to speak about vocational and technical education in high school, and that too is a threat to the radical left. Because for them, schooling is not about learning a trade. It really is about ideological indoctrination. Trump went on to talk about how he reversed the previous administration's normalizing relationships with Cuba and ending the embargo. Trump praised the fact that America is now the number one producer of gas and oil, something that the left hates. Trump also passed rulings requiring price transparency, more competition in healthcare. And the president said, we'll never let socialism destroy American healthcare. A complete contradiction to the leftist vision for socialized medicine. Trump spoke about the continual construction of the border wall. He spoke about all of the drugs and human trafficking that has been stopped, and he introduced a Hispanic man to the audience who has just been promoted to be in charge of border security. Trump introduced a little girl who survived being born premature at 26 weeks, weighing less than 1 pound. And he called upon Congress to ban late-term abortions. Because as in the case of this little girl put before the audience, Trump said every human life is a sacred gift from God. And you could see the Democrats angry over this pro-life statement. Then Trump excoriated New York State and California for becoming sanctuary states that refused to help ICE. In the audience, he had the families of victims killed by illegal immigrants who should have been turned over to ICE. But New York State and California released them into the streets. And so Trump asked for legislation that would allow victims to sue their state for failing to follow federal ICE laws. The Justice for Victims of Sanctuary City Act. Of course, that didn't sync with the open border narrative on the left. Trump also explained the end of catch and release. Illegals now have to wait in Mexico before their trial. So border crossings are down 75%. Trump talked about the 187 new conservative federal judges that he has had confirmed. Trump also spoke about defending prayer in public schools. He said, in America, we celebrate faith. We raise our sight to the glory of God. Then Trump talked about his defense of the Second Amendment, Then the killing of the Islamic terrorists Baghdadi and Soleimani. And the president had in the audience families of those killed by these terrorists. These terrorists that the media were praising as great Muslim scholars. And the media was calling Trump's policy unlawful assassinations. Trump said, if you attack our citizens, you forfeit your life. Trump said, the only victories in Washington that matter are victories for the American people. Our job is to put America first. Trump said, socialism destroys nations. And yet there were the Democrats and all of the leading Democrat candidates who are claiming to be socialists, saying that socialism is the answer and that we must do everything together under the control of the state. Then Trump concluded by painting a picture of America. This is lengthy, but I have to read it. As the world bears witness tonight, America is a land of heroes. This is the place where greatness is born, where destinies are forged, where legends come to life. This is the home of Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt, and many great generals, including Washington and Pershing, Patton, MacArthur. This is the home of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, and many more. This is the country where children learn names like Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, and Anna Oakley. This is the place where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth and where Texas Patriots made their last stand at the Alamo. The American nation was carved out of the vast frontier by the toughest, strongest, fiercest, and most determined men and women ever to walk on the face of the earth. Our ancestors braved the unknown, tamed the wilderness, settled the Wild West, lifted millions from poverty, disease, and hunger, vanquished tyranny and fascism, ushered the world to new heights of science and medicine, laid down railroads, dug canals, raised up the skyscrapers. And ladies and gentlemen, our ancestors built the most exceptional republic ever to exist in all human history. And we are making it greater than ever before. This is our glorious and magnificent inheritance. We are Americans. We are the pioneers. We are the pathfinders. We settled the new world. We built the modern world. And we changed history by forever embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas. This country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. My fellow Americans, the best is yet to come. Thank you. God bless you. God bless America. This had to be one of the best State of the Union addresses I've ever heard. Most of the time, these State of the Union addresses are extremely boring, but this one had substance. It kept you seated on the edge of your seat. But do you see what Trump and his speechwriters were doing here? The radical left, the academic intellectuals, have all bought into the narrative of critical theory, that America is all about oppression, that it was founded on racism, that it's a bad place with a bad history, and so it needs to be fundamentally dismantled. The big series last year in the New York Times was the 1611 Project, a series of articles asserting that America's founding was not 1776, but 1611, the first introduction of slavery into America, that America is founded by white people for the sole purpose of oppressing minorities. It's all about power. But Trump has a different vision. And this is a vision that's held by the majority of Americans who go to church and who have not been indoctrinated into the racism and the communism of critical theory. And that American vision is that our ancestors were not racist oppressors, but they were brave, good people, that built an exceptional republic on godly values, and that it's our job to make it even greater. As Trump said, we are the pathfinders because we embrace the truth that everyone is equal by the hand of Almighty God. And the point is, America was not founded on oppression, but on good Christian biblical values. And that's what made America great. But you know, that narrative does not work for those who want to overthrow America. Because the radical left has to paint the picture that America is a horrible place in order to justify and inspire people to overthrow it. And so this is why one party, the party that has been taken over by secular racism and critical theory, sat on their hands throughout the entire speech. And this is why the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, enraged, tore up Donald Trump's speech as soon as he finished in front of the cameras, because she hates the vision of America put forth by Donald Trump. Now, when she was asked why she ripped up the speech, she said because she could not find one page of truth on it. You know, not that she disagreed with a certain policy, but she actually said there was no truth in that speech. So, like, what did she disagree with? When Trump said America is the land of the heroes, or when Trump praised the 100-year-old Tuskegee airman whose grandson was in the audience, or when Trump asked for funding for neonatal care, or maybe she didn't believe it was true when Trump said we changed history forever by embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. Or maybe she didn't think it was true when Trump said the sun is still rising and God's grace is still shining. Now, you say, of course, she didn't mean everything in the speech. That was just an exaggeration, right? But actually, no. She's smart enough as a politician to know what she's saying. I mean, even in speeches given by Barack Obama, I would never, ever say that I could not find one truth in President Obama's State of the Union address. I know that would just be a foolish thing to say. But you see, Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is blinded by her leftist worldview. I've been pastoring for 30 years, and I've worked with many people, and I know all the telltale signs of those who are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity, Acts chapter 8. So anyway, what we have is two worldviews, two ideologies in conflict. That old vision of America, generally based upon Christian values, and a new vision of America based upon secular humanism. Now, given the apostasy from God among many people in America, it was inevitable that these two worldviews would clash, and clash in a violent way. And, you know, the surprise here is that the more Christian worldview is being represented by this unlikely character, Donald Trump. The other week, I went down to the Trump rally in Wildwood, New Jersey, did a few interviews, did a lot of observing, and maybe next week I'll discuss what I observed. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to realize that in this political season, this is not just political theater, but we are experiencing the conflict of the ages, the conflict between good and evil. May we always choose for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.